Amen. Psalm 34 is a very fascinating psalm. First of all, the background, David fakes insanity to flee Abimelech. And this is found in 1 Samuel chapter 21, verse 11. But you could read the whole background to it. It's very interesting. And this was a result. This psalm comes as a result of that event. Now, the psalm is also alphabetic acrostic. That is, each phrase or each verse actually follows the Hebrew alphabet except verse 22. It does not do it in the last verse. But if you could just go like something like A, B, C, D, E, F, G, you get the idea. It is all, each phrase or each verse begins with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So David wrote this specifically. He knew the Hebrew alphabet, but he wrote it specifically as a form of a song. But anyway, metaphors abound in this 34th psalm. Mouth, lips, eyes, face, hear, see, tongue, ears, angels. I mean, it just, for those of us that preach PowerPoint, this is a great text to look at. And unlike a lot of psalms, this psalm teaches. David says, turn from evil, do good, and let God bless you. So that's kind of a background to Psalm 34. Again, it's 22 verses or 22 stanzas long. And several of the key verses, and I've already alluded to them, one of them is in verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. And probably one of the most famous is the come and listen and I will teach you to fear the Lord. All of these, the Lord is near the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit, verse 18. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them from all. So Psalm 34 has a lot of instruction. It has a lot of teaching. It has a lot of God is near moments. And so many times in our own Christian lives, we forget that God is near. He is with us. And for us that live in the New Testament, I realize we're an Old Testament Christian. But for us that live in the New Testament, it's often forgetting the fact that God is with us. And for us, it's in the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. So David reflects on this nearness of God. But to begin with, David says, praise the Lord. It's pretty simple, pretty straightforward. Verses 1 and 2, praise the Lord. Notice he says here, I will bless the Lord at all times. A cohortative verb in Hebrew, the words I will bless, cohortative verb in the Hebrew language, carries the idea of a wish, but probably here a desire. So I want you to think for a second, when David says, I will bless the Lord at all times, he is saying, my desire, my heart's desire is to bless the Lord, or Barak the Lord, the Yod-Heh-Vav. We've seen that before. Yod-Heh-Vav is Yahweh, the one sovereign God. He says here, I will bless the Lord, my desire and all that is within me, which he will expound on this when he talks about his soul. I will bless the Lord, Barak, which means to praise, but also carries the idea of bowing before God. So, you have a situation here where David, King David, there we go, where he is talking about praising the Lord involves bowing. We don't often do that in the churches today, but When you think about bowing before the Lord, what you think about should be this: submission and dependency. Because that's exactly what the words mean. Worship is much more than just singing a few songs. It is the idea of submission and dependency. And David will bring this out masterfully in this psalm as we unpack it the next few weeks. Bowing is a sign of praise. It really is. Bowing says that you are acknowledging the one you are bowing to as sovereign, as Lord. But it also conveys the idea of praise. And this word means literally, bless, means to speak words of favor about the one you are bowing to. Now let me ask you a question. How many times this week have you spent time just speaking to God about His goodness? That's something we need to be doing more of in our lives. And David says, I will barak the Lord at all times. Speak words invoking divine favor, if you will. It's bragging, which we'll get into in a little bit as well. But it is acknowledging that God is the source of everything that we have in our lives. And that in essence, we give Him honor and glory and praise. And then he says, at all times. Kolquet. At all times. You know what that word means? Refers to seasons. It refers to seasons. Here's the same area, and you'll notice you have spring. I love spring because everything's new. There's a sense of newness. And maybe some of you are in that situation in life right now where something is new in your life, and something has come along, and it is joyful and wonderful and exciting. Well, this is where sometimes we live our Christian lives. And then there's summertime. Summertime is when we sip lemonade, we have outdoor cookouts and campouts, and it's a fun time. You're not cold. You're just relaxing. And maybe some of you are here today. And then maybe some are experiencing fall. It's when the leaves start to change. You start getting to have to wear jackets, and you've kind of left summertime behind. But I know what follows fall. Winter. A time of cold. A time of trees being bare. Difficulty and hardships. But I want to share with you something here. That each one of these seasons is still an opportunity to praise God. It is difficult to praise God here. I get that. I understand that as a person, as a pastor, and as a Christian. I get that. But even in the winter time of our lives and inwardly in our hearts, we need to be bowing before God and saying, Father, you are good, even in the midst of this difficult period. You are good. You are my Father. I will continue to bless your name. I will continue to praise your name. And all of these other times, it's probably easy here and easy here. It gets a little tougher here. But here, it's very difficult. I understand that. I know that. I'm not giving us something that is unrealistic. But I'm telling you, and me as well, that we still need to worship and praise Him here. Because I'll tell you this, in David's word here, using at all times or in all seasons, David knows what is after winter. Do you know what's after winter? Spring. Christians are either getting ready to go into a trial or they're in a trial, or they are coming out of a trial. Those are the three main seasons, time frames that you're going to live in. And I would say you need to enjoy all seasons. And by the way, this season can be beautiful too. Snow, I know it's cold, but it can be beautiful too when the snow is off the branches and laying on the branches, and it can be beautiful too. But I'm going to tell you, when David says, "I will bless the Lord at all times," he wasn't excluding any time. It was all times. He says, "His praise shall continually be in my mouth." Tehillah, a song of thanksgiving. And we think about the spring or the fall, and we always celebrate Thanksgiving. David's saying here basically that we need to remember to be thankful for what God has done in our lives. Continually, tamid, regularly. I like this, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. That's an interesting phrase. What it means is this, that David is just looking for an opportunity to give thanks. It's there. It's on his lips. It's in his mouth. It's right on the edge. And as soon as something happens, he thanks God. Rather than always in our mouth negativity. That this isn't going to happen. And we all get caught in this. David says, "I'm just waiting for the moment to thank God." I said, and by the way, this is not just something that we do on Sunday morning. What David is talking about here is a lifestyle commitment. This isn't just something we show up. It's easy to praise God on Sunday morning because we're all together and we're worshiping and we sing songs and we give thanks to him. But brothers and sisters, what David is mentioning here is a lifestyle event. This is something that happens Monday morning when you get out of bed and your feet hit the floor and you live your day that day. This is what David is talking about. It is a lifestyle event. And he says, "My desire, I will bless the Lord at all times." My desire, my deep heartfelt desire, is to acknowledge his goodness and his greatness and his glory. That's our stance. Our soul, David says, is another issue. David writes here, "My soul makes its boast in the Lord." By the way, "makes" is added for translation. It's not in the original language. "My soul boasts in the Lord" would be the literal language. But for translators, "my soul makes its boast in the Lord." Soul is the word nephesh. We've seen that word before. It has 21 different meanings in the Old Testament. Now, when we come to the New Testament, we talk about the sarx, the flesh. Nephesh carries some of the same idea, and I'm not going to go through all 21 meanings, but I'm going to give you a few. One is it can refer to an animal or a creature. That dog is nephesh. That's an animal, or it's a creature. It can refer to life or the act of living, which is a good translation here. It can refer to human beings or to a living person, and that carries the idea of the sarx. Though we are redeemed, Jesus said, our soul has been redeemed, our sarx is not. Or, and I think this is the proper understanding of this word nephesh or soul, it refers to the heart, to the thinking, to the feeling, to the thoughts, to the desires of David. So David said, "My innermost being makes its boast in the Lord." So what David is talking about here is something that is deep down, deeply rooted in his who he is as a person. It is deeply rooted. This is not something that's just passing or fleeting. David said, this is welled up inside of me. And I will boast in the Lord. Hillel, Hillel, boast. That means to cheer or to brag on someone. In this case, David says, deep within me is this intense desire to brag on Yod-Heh-Vav. It excludes David from claiming any glory at all. I think Rolf Jacobson is right in his commentary. The chief point is that the boast is a non-boast because he, and I added this, David, is boasting about his own inability to save himself, which is why he sought refuge in Yod-Heh-Vav in verse 8. David, by saying this, my soul makes boast in the Lord, is simply saying, I do not have the power within me to do anything apart from Yod-Heh-Vav. I am totally dependent upon him, so it stands to reason that if I cannot deliver myself, I cannot do anything to protect myself, but I am hopelessly fixed on God's, aimlessly fixed on God's glory and his goodness and his protective power. Only he can deliver me. It excludes us from any inability on our part to redeem, to get out of, or to help ourselves. We are totally dependent upon God. So many times we go through life thinking that we can do something. Right? We're going to fix this. There's some things you can't fix. And ultimately, brothers and sisters, David here is saying that within me, I realize apart from him, I can do nothing. Wow, that sounds New Testament. I need to trust God. David's saying it. I can't do this, Lord, apart from you. Deep within King David is the idea that he is utterly incapable of saving himself. Something that we need to do more in our lives is realize we do what we can, but ultimately, God is the one who delivers. It involves trust. David says along these lines, while I'm boasting in God, let the humble hear. And that word is shema, meaning understanding by listening. We all have ears, right? So David says, let the humble hear and be glad. This is awesome, but I think all of it's awesome. So the word humble here, anav, anav. It means a sincere behavior. And I'm just reading you literally what the Hebrew means. A sincere behavior suggesting a lack of arrogance and pride. The prideful will say, I don't need Yod-Heh-Vav. I can do this on my own. Unfortunately, some Christians fall into that trap too. I can do this. God's too busy to worry about this. There may be a sense of arrogance and pride going on in that heart. In fact, we're warned in Proverbs 16, 18, and 19, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. It is better, I love this, it is better to be of lowly spirit with the poor than to divide the spoil with the proud. When we get to a place in our lives where we think that we are in control and that we don't need God, we are heading for problems. David said, my nephesh, my soul will boast in the Lord. My desire is to praise him at all times, because apart from him, I cannot even function without God. Let there be no pride within me. Create in me a clean and pure heart. This is another manifestation. I think David is bearing his soul for us. We're not talking about the guy that works down the road here. We are talking about King David, who God will establish the throne of David forever. We are looking at a king who is exposing his heart to us. Oh my, that I should follow after David in my own life. And that I check my heart, and that you check your heart. And then David says, be glad. It's a feeling of joy or happiness that makes itself in an outward expression. So now listen, let's connect this. Let's connect this. So David says, within my soul, and I love what David's doing here. It's masterful. Within my soul, I will boast in the Lord. I am not going to do anything that would cause pride to take root in my heart. I am going to trust in God, and therefore I can boast in him. And while I'm boasting in him, I'm going to make sure that I am humble enough before God that it will cause joy to surface in my life. You remember those pictures of the four seasons? And I thought about playing Vivaldi. I love Vivaldi, the four seasons. Love it. But I fail at times in my own life when winter is upon me. I'm sharing, David's sharing his heart. I'm sharing my heart. I realize that. And if I didn't say that, God would be very suspicious of me this morning. But I also know that there's a lot of other winter non-praisers out there, right? Uh-huh. I learned from David to praise God. Take time to praise him. Let me propose this. One of the other commentaries that I read threw light on this, and I think it's well taken. A couple of weeks ago when Holly was here, the check engine light came on in her car, and she was a little worried to drive back, and of course I wanted to get the car checked out. And most of the time you can drive years with a check engine light, but you don't really want to try to go that distance, 200-300 miles with the check engine light on, because I do know this, that if a check engine light comes on and it starts to blink, you got problems. And so I took it to my mechanic. And my mechanic put it, it wasn't like this, but it was a little screen, and he hooked it into the electrical system, and he punched in some codes and information, and it came back, it's misfiring. The engine was misfiring. My mechanic said it's probably something small. She's fine to drive it back, but when she gets back home, get it checked out. It's probably a plug, a wire, a condenser, something small. She said, I wouldn't worry about it. If I would have noticed something big, I would have told you. Is it possible? Is it possible that when there is a lack of joy in our lives, regardless of the season, and I mean joy, that's right there, ready to thank God, is it possible that there's something wrong with our spiritual life. Maybe it could be that when we are not joyful at all seasons, that there's something wrong and we need to take a look at it. Because we should be joyful at all times. You say, well, does that mean we can't cry? No, it doesn't mean you can't cry. But I think sometimes a root of bitterness or a root of pride or arrogance can take root in our heart, and we begin to see things differently than they really are. And David says one of the cures for lack of joy in your life is boast in God. I don't care what season it is. And by the way, I made a note here. The Psalms are all about joy and happiness. Lack of joy could possibly be a sign that we are not trusting God or we have become prideful. Interesting. Just want to throw that out there. While we're praising him, let's also think about his great name. Oh, verse 3, oh, magnify the Lord with me. And you notice there's a shift here. Did you see the subtle shift? David has now gone from a personal to a corporate. You see this? He's calling, by the way, calling all Christians to come. I'm calling all God's followers to come with me now. You see this? Oh, magnify the Lord with me, troops, sheep. Let's magnify the word gadol. It means to cause someone to have a high status. Personal story. Friday night, Audrey and I were walking over at the park, Meadowbrook Park. And we were on the back side of that 1.75 mile little walk. And I noticed that if you haven't walked that long in a while, you... Your calves, your back, your legs hurt. But anyway, we're walking down the back side where the playground is, and there's a big open area there. And I saw like 20 cars lined up there, and they were setting up telescopes. And I was like, okay, now I'm curious. So I walk over, and I get to this first couple, and they've got a little bitty telescope, and I said, what are you guys doing? I'm just curious. And they said, well, we're waiting to see Mars and Saturn. Because they're going to be highly visible tonight. And the guy was explaining that if you look right over there, you can see that line right there. That's where Saturn's going to appear, and we can probably see the rings. Well, I found out it was a club. And, you know, I said, well, how much? Because I don't have a telescope. I said, well, how much is your telescope? And he was on the table. He said, this one was about $100. And there was a guy next to him that had a big telescope. And I looked at him while he was setting it up, and I said, yours is just a little over 100, right? Because if I was going to do this, then he goes, yeah, just a little over 100. Well, the first couple that I was talking to, I said, well, I'm a pastor. And I grew up in Cape Canaveral where we launched rockets, and they said, wow, that's awesome. And so we got into a conversation, and the guy at the end of the conversation, he said, you know what, Pastor? How you could look at this and not understand that God existed is beyond him. Here's the end of it. I'm actually going to be joining the group. I went and got a brochure, and now I'm going to be investing in not one of the big ones, because they had some ones that were, they were able to turn them, and I'm like, no, that's too much. But $200 or under, you can get a nice telescope to be able to see that. Is to be able to see God. This stuff didn't happen, folks. This is not because some molecule bounced off another molecule. And even if we play with that idea, who did the bouncing? This is God. And when David said magnify God, he means make him big. How do you make God big in your life for others to see? Come on, community. We need to make God big so that people can see him. That's what David, this is evangelistic. He wants the community of believers to make God big, magnify God. That's his name. And then he says, exalt. 3B. We make God big so the world can see him. Magnify his name. And let us exalt his name. God's name is everything. I am that I am. I am that I am. God is so wrapped up in his name because his name is everything. And when we as believers don't magnify God, we don't make him big, it reflects his name. And let us exalt the name to God. Rishvavmim. It's easy for me to say because I practiced it all week, but Rishvavmim. And you know what that word means? Exalt? It means to lift up and make high. He is exalted, the Lord is exalted on high. I will praise him. This is two Sundays in a row I've sang. I know you guys are getting tired of it, but name. Shem. She with an M. Shem. You know what that means? Renowned. Famous. And let us lift up God's name so that he becomes famous. Isn't that beautiful? Brothers and sisters, this life is not about us. And by the way, in the beginning, God created, he's already famous. We just need to let people know how famous he is. This is what I want us all to do, not just you, because sometimes pastors get in the habit of saying, this is what I want you to do this week. Well, this is what I want all of us to do this week. I want us to spend some time, and I'm saying this because I need this too. I want all of us this week to spend some time during the day praising God. Driving in your car, at home, just take a few minutes and praise him. Oh, yeah. Whenever things get difficult, I want you to praise him too. Just praising. This is the other thing I want us all to do this week. Laugh a little. Take time to laugh this week. You know, laughter is good medicine. That's what the Bible says. Let's trust God. Because I think what David's saying here in his unique way, definitely God is near. But I think what David's doing is this. There you go, God. Now I can be happy because I'm not carrying it. You see that? You see how he unfolds it? It sounds like Paul. I count all things lost in order that I may gain Christ, and everything else is dung. I'm not going to worry. In all circumstances, I can do all things because he's the one that gives me strength.